Welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group, bringing you interviews with Colorado's best real estate and mortgage professionals, empowering you to understand the current trends in the housing market so you can make the American dream your reality. Enjoy today's episode.
Well, it's a great day in Colorado, and welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast. Today, we have with us James Rangel, who's a realtor with RE/MAX Synergy, and Mark Rogers with Trailstone Insurance. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Hey, James, thanks, we're looking forward to talking with you and learning from your experience. And I always love to start with the question of what is your background and what led you to the real estate industry? Because so many times you ask that question and people have some really interesting backgrounds, and it's really neat to see what led them into the industry.
Oh, absolutely. My background into real estate started way before I was even licensed. My father, he started building homes, custom homes, and, they actually built their first house, when I was, I think I was probably 12. And so, what happened was, they were really into the real estate. They owned a small business, and they were looking into always, you know, buying and reselling. And so, I think it was when I was probably 18, my mom, she said, you got a knack for this. You should pursue this. And I said, when I was getting out of high school, real estate still kind of intrigued me a little bit. Yeah. So I went through college, went in for financing, and then I went into marketing. And then I kind of took a little break from school. And then I think I was around, I think it was in my early 20s where I just started helping them on the front of doing for sale by owner. I think market was a little slow back in, I think it was before the housing crisis. I think we were like in 2005. And so I took the opportunity to start learning how this worked. And then I said, I don't know if this is for me. You know, there was a lot of salesmanship involved in dealing with other agents. And I was a little nervous dealing with not knowing kind of the lingo of real estate. So I kind of got forced into it by, I would say, like my mom, you know, and it wasn't something that I was like, I want to be a salesperson. You know, being a salesperson isn't for everybody. And so I said, okay. So I got my license, and then I started working with Keller Williams downtown. And then it just stayed there for about a year and a half, and it was rough. I'm not going to lie. I'm seeing record on agents.
During those years, that was a rough patch, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You could get listings. They were easy, but they weren't going to sell.
Yep.
So that's kind of when I got into it. And so we were dealing with a lot of foreclosures. So new agents were coming in that really didn't know what we were really doing. We were trying to learn from the older guys, integrating technology. And so, that's kind of where it kind of started for me, kind of getting pushed into it.
Trial
and,
by fire.
Absolutely.
I mean, for real, you know, I don't know whether the phrase short sale even existed before that patch of time, but you probably really did get a lot of honing of your skills during that time. And you said something that made me think of an interesting question. Would you or your mother classify her as a salesperson?
No, but,
that's my point, because I feel like people that would say, I just don't feel I'm a salesperson, tend to be the best salespeople ever, because it's like, just talk to people, just show them what you got and find out what they need and just chat. And you don't need to be a salesperson.
Yep. Absolutely. So, absolutely. Me and my mother are more of the talkers of the family. Yeah. I never realized that until I realized what an introvert was and someone who was a little bit more outgoing. So I would say that I was more of the black sheep, the more outgoing one. And I think my mother saw that, and I didn't really see that. I always saw myself kind of as a class clown and always curious about trying new things. I think she's, you know, mother always knows best, as we say. So I took it in, and I'm still actively
and here we are,
selling, here we are.
Well, so, I think that's a neat background, because you were kind of coming up on your parents doing some transactions, learning some of the, you know, how some of the things worked, and feeling, oh, let me go look at this house, and probably heard some conversations, and then your finance and marketing education and background. Boy, what a great mix that is. And then you know what? Class clown / conversationalist. What a perfect mix. You know?
Yeah. So
I want to talk to people that are fun and funny. So that's a awesome mix.
Yeah. Fun, funny, but being serious, because you know, buying a house is one of the most serious purchases.
Yeah.
It can affect you financially for a lot longer than if you get repoed on a car, or, you know, running some credit and, you know, falling into, you know, default on that. So, you know, this is more of a, you know, big purchase that you're going to do in your lifetime. Some will do it multiple times. Some will, you know, have a second home, an investment property. So, you know, this is something where I think what separates me, because, you know, right now we have a record number of real estate agents. It's a bit embarrassing sometimes when you tell people I'm a realtor, because they, like, I got friends and family.
Yeah.
I've got everyone that knows a realtor. And that's just kind of what happens with the shows, the TV shows and the glamour.
But then that's when you say, yeah, but I've been one for over a decade, or I've been one for pushing 20 years, not like, you know, six months.
And for some hard markets, you know, not a lot of these people just came along lately when it's been easy.
Yes. The market now is based off of, whatever agency you work for, and I'm not knocking any real estate agent or it's where the successful real estate agents now are getting more of their clients from online, which, you know, the internet's powerful. It's a great marketing tool. You know, so a lot of these agents are buyer agents that are, you know, getting these, and just like Redfin, you know, I think it was just on the news where I knew people who left, you know, 100% commission real estate agents that jumped into Redfin and a lot of these new kind of concept. But look at that now, like Zillow and Redfin. It was just on CNBC, I think, a week ago that they're doing layoffs. So, you know, you're seeing that with Compass Realty. You're seeing that with other agencies. So I think what's going to happen is now it's going to start getting a little tighter, where knowledge starts to take a hand of ahead of what you were doing before, besides showing homes. And so when I used to show homes when I first started, I guess I may have gotten people a little bit too, you know, I was giving them too much information. Since I had the background of knowing how houses built from learning from my father, going around and seeing spec houses, seeing them, you know, from the ground up, from the foundation. So I knew a lot of the important mechanisms of how the house needs to be, with the negative and you know, where you don't want that negative incline sloping into your foundation. You want to look at the pivot of the roof. You know, you want to start looking at, you know, but then I'm not an inspector. So it was a fine line learning by trial and error of not over giving too much information and like throwing the fire hose at someone who just is trying to look at one house. So I learned that trial and error. And the biggest thing with me that I think separates me from a lot of other agents is I believe in educating public. I don't know if you saw my motto on there, but it's connecting humanity one home at a time. And I believe that we're doing a service for the public. We're not really trying to steer people and tell them what's best for them or what area, because for one, that's illegal. And that's against a lot of what we have regulations. But it's giving them that freedom of not, you know, I've spent sometimes a year or 2 years showing people houses where I want them to find the perfect house. And then I want to make sure that agent I'm working with on the other side, that we're connecting, we're giving a fair deal. And you know, my whole thing is education, teaching.
James, that's unbelievable. I want to touch on education for a second, but first I want to make sure that we really go deep on Mark's point he just brought up, because when you've said twice now, what separates me from other agents is, and that's spectacular. People have to understand that. But one of the things that Mark said about you've made it through the tougher times and these newer agents, not to slam other agencies or other people, but if you don't have the, tough skin of coming through that housing crisis from 07, 8, 9, 10, 11, and who knows when it ended, you know, when you can tell that story, and in marketing, really, it is all about connecting with people emotionally through story. And part of just your conversation, getting to know people, could be that coming through that tougher time and learning from those trials. And I think that people can really hang their hat on, you know, really trusting that advice, because, man, you've been there and done that and got the t-shirt.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, you know, a lot of the newer agents that come from my office, or if I'm working a deal on either side, buyer or listing agent side, I'm always there to help the other agent. I see like the TV shows are a little far fetched, and I think people try to, you know, go towards what they see on that. But and the reality is we're helping our clients to find that house, give them the education of whatever they want. I mean, we could go into, what's your market? What's my specific market that I work on? And I remember taking a lot of classes of, trying to learn about salesmanship and marketing. But with real estate, there's tons of books out there, videos. And they always said, don't be this bumblebee agent. And what's crazy is I know the Denver metro area, but they said always be specific on where you're working. And that's one of the things that I've had an issue with probably sticking to, is where I'm considered a bumblebee agent. I'll go around the whole Denver metro area because I'm a native.
Yeah.
I'm a native of Colorado. So I've seen all the changes. So, you know, we're dealing with ever ending. We're dealing with changes, not just nationally and on the state level, but we're dealing with the changes of the interest rates. And we're dealing with the changes of where we have these people who are moving in and out, migrating in and out of Colorado. So we have businesses that are moving in and out. So there's a lot that comes in play as a real estate agent. It's kind of like you're the news. You have to be the news.
So tie those two words together, education and change. So you said you educate your clients. How do you best educate them to deal with the change in our current market? Because housing, you know, it's a buyer's market one day, and now it's going to be a seller's market, and then interest rates are up and down. How do you help them to understand that so that they are confidently making decisions with you? Because like you said, you can't make decisions for them, but you can guide them. And so how do you help them understand those changes?
First thing I try and tell them is, I'm never trying to contradict myself, because, when I'm working with a client for, let's say, six months ago, the market was different.
Yeah.
And even 6 months ago from there. So if we look at a full year, just looking in probably from this year to last year, just that one whole year, we dealt with appraisal gap coverages, bidding over list, which still happens. You're still going to bid over list in certain parts of different parts of the metro area. Different school districts is where you'll see those higher. Some you won't see over list, some you'll just see at, and some you'll see under. But right now, what we're seeing now is the information I told them 6 months ago, or the information I would tell a client a year ago, is going to be different from today if they're either going to sell or buy. And so that is something I always try to let every client know, that I'm giving you the information. Don't take the information I gave you 6 months ago or a year ago, because this market is just changing. And I think a lot of people who are going to sell or going to buy, what they're doing is they're already researching. I think with Google and everything, that the talk is real estate. And so I don't really have to go into where it's at. They usually want me to elaborate on what, you know, they hear on the news about rising interest rates, or
yes,
are we going for this, this crash, this market crash. And so what I try and do is I'm full disclosure on that. And so right now we're seeing, before a year ago, you know, we were talking about appraisal gap coverages. Right now we're talking about, in our local market, is seller concessions, because the rates are going up. So now we're giving concessions to help buy down the rate. You know, so
yes,
you see those two spectrums.
And so as an example, that fast. You said that, you know, information is so readily available online in the news. People want you to elaborate. And I would venture to say they want you to elaborate toward clarity. Because how you can get all kinds of information and hear all kinds of things and be more confused than ever. But James, tell us how this affects us, because you know us. We need to have this and that. We're looking for. And so I think that's where you draw on your experience to say, yep, that's good. So here's the deal. And that's what people want to rely on you for, is, you know, telling they know just enough to know, okay, that makes sense. But man, help me understand how it is for me.
Yeah. And I think where, you know, again, you know, not trying to sound better than any other agent is, what I try and do is I try and be before the news. I think once it goes on our local news, it's already, that's going to be the talk. So if I can already kind of let you know where the market is shifting, then that gives me an upper hand of saying, oh, James knows, you know, the market. And that's kind of where, you know, I consider myself a hybrid agent now. And I know a lot of people shun it and stuff, but I actually got my mortgage origination license 2 years ago, just for one, just to kind of see what goes on with the lending aspect. Because what I've learned is, when you do a real estate transaction, you should know everything from what title does to be able to explain it. Do for one what we do as real estate agents, and then the lending side. Those three pieces are very there's a lot of information. And a lot of people don't ask. And I'm not saying that, you know, anybody has it wrong or right. I just now I'm just taking up a little bit more workload, which I'm fine with. So I'm, you know, so I'm not one of those high producing agents.
Yeah, that's really a huge. That's really a. I don't. Some people would say stay focused and don't, you know, be hybrid. I feel like that brings more education to your clients because you can speak confidently. You may not do the transaction, but you can give them kind of like they walk into the mortgage lender feeling really educated because of some of the guidance you gave.
Absolutely. I do not steer. I'm there always talking to other agents and letting them know if you have any other questions. I consider myself, I guess, somewhat getting close to that, where I hate to say like a veteran, where some of the younger agents who have only been licensed a year. But I the one thing I tell any other agent that's coming in is education. I mean, I think that's one thing that every brokerage even talks about. I even think in the, you know, insurance industry or any other industry you're in, it's educating. The way you always have an upper hand is educating.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect is marketing. Marketing is a big tool, and you know, it's one thing that I probably should get more into. I get a lot of my business from referrals, so I try and do a good transaction and show and prove myself so that I can get that referral. And I think a lot of it is referral based, but now we're seeing a lot of it is just high power marketing. Yep. You know, who's getting on the SEO and search engines and who's going to be on top of there. But I still feel like we can't be these robots, this AI on the internet to get this information and just say, oh, this is a top agent. I really think you still have to have that personal relationship, and you got to talk on the phone, meet in person. I really believe you need that emotional side of real estate.
Couldn't agree more, you know, and you know,
I agree. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was going to say, and if you're working primarily from referrals, that's a testament to you building relationships and really helping people. And, you know, that's what referrals will do for you, or is a sign of great work.
Absolutely.
That will outlive AI all day long.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? And from a marketing standpoint, you have this broad network and vibrant network of clients and, you know, personal contacts, and they know of you. They know you did a good transaction, and then they refer you. Well, that person, you don't know when that referral happens. It might be a text, an email, a phone call, whatever. But before they reach out and connect with you, they will do some research and they want to make sure that you do look good online, and they're going to look you up. And then here comes the call, here comes the meeting, and then all of the other things that you just said, like, oh, I want to be knowledgeable, I want to educate, I want to be personable, I want to be fun, but yet serious. All of those things then come together, because that's, if someone Googled your name and they saw, well, I don't see anything about him at all, he's invisible. Well, maybe that means he's been licensed for about a minute and a half. Well, James Rangel has been licensed for many, many, many years. And now that ties in nicely with that referral introduction. So then the stage is set for you to come in and do what you do. So I think that's a really neat way to kind of tie that referral relationship up with a nice red bow.
Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't have said that any better, Mike.
well, that being said, if someone is interested in connecting with you, what is the best way that they can reach out, connect with you, learn a little bit about what you could do for them, and maybe have you give them some education and just tie in some of your experience into helping guiding their transaction? What's the best way they can reach out and connect with you and learn more?
I would say the best way is always by you know, call or text. So, you know, of course, my number is 720-838-4991. You know, that's usually the best way. If, yeah. You know, I know a lot of people are a little worried, sometimes not wanting to call me. I call all the time. If I get a referral, I'll always call. Some people want to do text, a little more comfortable with that at first to, you know, get a little of the conversation started. But then you can also reach me at James Rangel, R-A-N-G-E-L, at remax.net. That's my email. If you want to check out my website, I actually have the two, you know, the main one with Remax is James Rangel at remax. I think it's remax.com or .net. I'm sorry about that. And then the main one that I use kind of for my hybrid agency with my lending and my with the Remax kind of tied in is jamesrangelrealty.com. So, you know, those are those three avenues. But of course, like you said, you could probably just type in my name and, you yeah. know, you'll see how to reach me. But yeah, I appreciate the letting me, you know, promote myself. And, you know, I guess we didn't really dive in too much about the current market situation, but I mean, if we have time, I mean,
you know, that's the beauty of it is sometimes, like you said, people can get really confused with the details until they get to know you and what you do can do for them. So, boy, I think that just gives a really great picture of you and how you approach your clients. So that's spectacular. Thank you so much for coming on. It's a real pleasure having you today, James.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. And maybe next time I can get back on and maybe we can dive more into the actual current market or any of that.
Sounds good.
Of that good stuff. But appreciate the time and thanks, Mark and Lauren. I didn't hear much from, but thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.coloradorealestateleaders.com.